Amen. You can be seated. Welcome. If you've got your Bibles with you or your device, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 12. If you were here last week, you're going to Hebrews chapter 12. That's where we were last week. That's where we're going to be again this week. Same verse. You're thinking a verse. Yes, we're going to be in the same verse. So if you're here this morning, and I'm not going to make you hold up your Bibles or hold up your phones or anything like that, but I do want to encourage you with this. Bring something with you on Sundays where you can read along with the Scriptures, because you may want to camp out on something, you may want to highlight something, you may want to take a note about something or read ahead or read behind some verses that we're talking about. It's going to be really important for you. Encourage your spouse, encourage your kids, people that are coming with you, to bring something to read. If you have a cell phone with you or a tablet with you, and you have not downloaded a Bible app, a great Bible app, and you can do that right where you're sitting. I won't be offended if you download an app. Believe me, people are on their phones the whole time I preach anyway. So if you download an app that's called YouVersion, YouVersion, and I think it almost runs together. I don't even think there's a space between them. YouVersion, that is a great Bible app for you to use. And you may want, you know, the traditional paper Bible with you as well. But that would be good. Just bring that with you each week, because here's, and you hear me say this hopefully frequently, and I always will say this frequently, is what's going to change your life more than anything else, more than anything I say, more than activity here, is going to be when you open up the Scriptures for yourself, be that in a paper version or a digital version, and you read and you listen to what it is that God wants to say to you. And that's as easy as 10 minutes a day, or 10 minutes several times a day. But this is the remarkable thing, and you're going to see this morning in what I'm about to do and in what I did last week. We took one verse last week, and we didn't even get through a third of it. We looked at two thoughts, two phrases. Today, we're going to look at the same verse, we're going to revisit one of the thoughts from last week, and we're just going to look at another phrase, another thought today. What can happen with you when you are sitting at your desk or on your bed or on your back porch and you've got the Scriptures open, you may read for volume. I mean, you may read several chapters, you know, but you may just read a short passage. You may read a verse. You may come across something that, man, it speaks to you where you are, or maybe you just find it interesting. And all you have to do is to take that verse or take that thought or take that phrase or take that word and close your eyes and think about it. You know what that's called? That's called meditation. That's Christian meditation. So when you think about that and you think for a few minutes about what does that mean, or what does God want to say to me, or how does my life need to adjust to the truth of what I just read? Listen, you do that on a regular basis, several times a week, maybe becomes a practice for you almost every day. That's going to change your life more than anything else, I promise you. So I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to have your Bible handy with you all the time. Now you can take your Bible with you everywhere you go if you have a phone that you can have apps on it. So that would be awesome. We are in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read three verses, although we're just going to camp out again in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12. It'll be up here on the screen for you as well. It says this: "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So the writer of Hebrews is offering us a really encouraging passage of Scripture here, and he goes on to talk about our struggle with sin and what Jesus has done for us. I want to kind of recap just a little bit from last week, if you weren't here. If you were here, just kind of a reminder. And we just really, in that very first verse, in the very first couple of phrases, where the Scripture says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." Now, therefore, anytime you see the word therefore, it's talking about the verses that just preceded that. So in chapter 12, verse 1, word 1, therefore, is referring to all of chapter 11. And all of chapter 11 is this great cloud of witnesses that verse 1 is talking about. You see it right there, verse 1. You see it in your text. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, in chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews talks about Abraham and Moses and Noah and all of these other people from the Old Testament who displayed great faith, great trust. Now, let's talk about what that means, trusting God for what you can't see. In fact, chapter 11 begins with, now faith is, that's what the very first words of that chapter begin. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Isn't that awesome? It's evidence of things not seen. That's what it means to trust God. And so then he talks about Noah and what Noah did and building an ark and it wasn't even raining. And so he's building it years before it happens. And Abraham setting out to go to a land he didn't even know where he was going. He just trusted God to lead him. And then God tells him, I'm going to create a great nation through you. And he does. And he's too old to have kids. And he's wondering, how's this going to happen? And then God says, I want you to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And Abraham trusts God again. All these people of the Old Testament who trusted God. And chapter 12, verse 1, says, since we're surrounded by all these people of faith, and what we did last week was we talked about the fact that you are surrounded by great people of faith. Now I'm surrounded by great people of faith, and we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses right here in this room. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses of people in your community, wherever it is that you live. There are people of faith. There are people who love the Lord. There are people who love you, and you're surrounded by them. And it's up to us to take advantage of that. And the one thing we camped out on a little bit last week was it is in our nature and our tendency to pull ourselves away from that great cloud of witnesses when difficult things happen in our lives. You mess up. You did something you weren't supposed to do. You get into a bad place. And you withdraw from that community that loves you and encourages you so much. You go through a difficult patch in your marriage, and instead of being all in and pushing yourself toward the community, you pull yourself away. You have a child that goes astray, and you're having all kinds of problems in your family. You're in turmoil, and your family pulls away from this great cloud of witnesses that love you. And all of a sudden, you kind of go into hibernation, and you don't want people to know what's going on. There's some embarrassment. Listen, that's normal. There's some grief. That's normal. There's some days you don't want to be around anybody. That's normal. But what happens is those days can turn into weeks, and those weeks can turn into seasons. And God has put this great cloud of witnesses here for you so that they can be there for you in difficult times. And this is the lie of the enemy. The lie of the enemy is this, is you need to have it all together before you go with those people. Before you show up at church again, You need to kind of get your life together. It's interesting. We talked about this and camped out on this a lot last week. This week, since we talked about that last Sunday, I had the radio on and I'm listening to this lady talk. And this lady talked about this series in her family where over and over and over, as she was growing up, her family was in church and they were out of church. And they were in church and they were out of church. And they were in church. And she said, the reason was I had a lot of siblings. And she said, there was frequent kind of kids. I had siblings that would take a left turn. Our family would be in turmoil. We'd have conflict. And my family wouldn't go to church. Why? Because they believed that to be with that great cloud of witnesses, you had to have it all together. And really the opposite is true. And what we have to remind ourselves is if I'm going through job loss or health loss or I've just messed up and sinned and my life's a wreck, I need to remind myself to push myself toward these people that love me, not pull myself away. And it may not feel good and it may feel uncomfortable, but these people love me. And they're going to be people there that love you and are going to show grace to you. That's what you need. And it's in all of us to pull away. But also, as a body, we need to reach out to people that are pulling away. You may be in a great place, but you see people pulling away. And as the body of Christ, we need to reach and be that great cloud of witnesses, people of faith, people who trust the Lord and love each other and pull people in when they're pulling themselves away and say, I love you and I'm here for you. So that's what we looked at. We looked at that phrase. We looked at one other phrase. It was this. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people that love us and encourage us, our family of faith, let us lay aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run this race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Now, let's take the end and talk about it at the beginning. The race, it's at the end of the verse. What is the race? The race is our life. That's your race. It's the journey that you're on. Every race has a beginning and an end. Your life has a beginning and an end. And most of us don't think about the end unless we're really close to the end, okay? But the reality is that you and I have a limited number of days, weeks, and months on this earth. And our days and weeks or months, you could look at it like currency. It's just like money. You're going to spend it one way or another. Now, you may waste it. You may spend it on something foolish. Or you may invest it. You may invest it in a way that it's going to return. It's going to yield dividends that are going to be here a lot longer than you're even on this planet. So our days are limited. A race is limited. There's a beginning, a middle, and the end. And the author of Hebrews is talking about what we do with the in-between. What we do with the middle part of that race. Now, he says this. You're surrounded by all these people that love you and love the Lord. So take advantage of that. And the way that you maximize those days is this. Lay aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, last week, we looked at lay aside everything that hinders. Now, we're not even talking about sinful things, right? We're just talking about things that prevent us from being as productive as we need to be. Now, there's a lot of talk about productivity. If you want to be productive, whether it's in your family or on your job or with your time or with your money, whatever it is. And the author of Hebrews is a big fan of that. And he says, I want you to lay aside everything that hinders you. Hinders you from what? Hinders you from running fast and hinders you from running further. So when you get to the finish line, I want you to be able to have gone as far as you can and has made as big an impact as you can, okay? I want you to be able to travel light. I want you to be able to travel fast. And I want you to be able to make as big an impact and go as far as you possibly can. So one of the things you need to do is lay aside everything that hinders you. So we looked at five things last week about things that can hinder us. Okay, again, we're not talking about sin. That's a different phrase. We'll talk about that later. Five of the things we talked about last, and listen, there could be 50 things. I just threw out five. One is this. Is that most of us say yes to way too many things, you know? Is that if I had one New Year's resolution, if I could give you one gift in January, it would be that you would be able to say no to more things, the right things, and say yes to the right thing. To have the wisdom to know, what do I need to say no to? What do I need to say yes to? And the things you say no to may be very good things. It's just not the best thing for you. It's just not the best way to spend your time. It's not the best relationship. It's not the best way, not the best habit or the best activity. So a lot of it's just learning, because a lot of us, we think that if we're available and we're gifted and there's a space on our calendar to do it, then we should do it. And what happens is we spread ourselves really thin and we become less productive and we become edgier. We have greater impatience. We have greater anger. We have less sleep, and because we're overextended. And so if you and I want to lay aside something, maybe the one thing that we need to lay aside is to turn our calendar over to the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to say yes to? And the thing, listen, you may say no to a lot of, one of the other things that goes hand in hand with this that we talked about laying aside are the expectations of other people. That's one of those other five things we talked about. And sometimes that can go right along with your calendar, okay? Because for every person that you know, there's a certain set of expectations. So if you know 100 people or 1,000 people, there's going to be a certain set of expectations from friends, from family, from work associates, from people that work for you and people you work for, all kinds of sets of expectations. And a lot of those are entirely valid and they're needed for you in your life. Here's the thing. Jesus lived with all kinds of expectations too, but the greatest expectation he wanted to live by was the Father. So when it comes to your calendar, what you say yes and what you say no to, when it comes to what's important to you, whether you're going to be driven by guilt and other people's expectations or what you feel like God wants you to do, one of the things that you and I are going to need to lay aside, and I guarantee you for most of the people in this room, there are people in your life that what they think about you is way too important to you. Now, you can live your life based on what they want from you, or you can live your life based on what God wants for you, okay? Now, it may mirror what that person wants for you, but you've got to come to a place to understand, who am I living for? I mean, who am I answering to? Now, the other three things we talked about to lay aside would be busyness and hurry and noise, okay? We said busyness is not bad. We're not saying to be busy is bad, because all of us are busy. We have jobs. We have families. There's things you have to do. Jesus was busy most of his life. He was very, especially the last 3 years of his life of ministry, is very busy. So being busy is not bad. It's just this. Jesus said, I always say what the Father wants me to say, and I always do what the Father wants me to do. What's He saying? I am busy for the right purpose. So for you and I, when it comes to work and our schedule and what we're doing, and you may be running your kids to and fro all the time. That's okay. You may have a job that just is so demanding. That's okay. It's okay if that's what God wants for you. It's okay if you're living with a bigger purpose to say, God, I want to use this job for you. I want to use my as a parent for you, my family for you. Everything's for you, okay? And then we talked about noise and hurry and how to control those things. So today I want to talk about two thoughts again. And one of the things that I want to do is, if you'll just permit me, I want to go back to last week and I want to revisit that phrase again, all right? Because I think we kind of touched on it, but there's more to it maybe than what I was even had time to talk about. And that's to lay aside everything that hinders. Okay? So once again, as you live this week, as you live this semester, maybe your life is on semesters now. You know, maybe you're a newlywed. Maybe you've just had kids. Maybe your kids are in high school. Maybe you're about to get married. Maybe you're retired. Whatever it is, whatever season you're in. How you're spending these days, how you're spending these weeks, how you're spending these months, it's part of your race. Now, how are you going to make the greatest impact? How are you going to be filled with joy, meaning, and purpose? Well, the way that that's going to happen is when you lay aside everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles you. Now, here's something else that when we think about laying aside the things that hinder, we're not talking about sin yet, we're just talking about the things that may not be best for us. It could be one of the five things we talked about last week. It could be this. It could be a relationship. It's just someone in your life, they're just not what's best for you. I mean, when you look at what's good, when you look at what's bad, good, better, best, is this the best relationship that I need in my life at this time? When you are with that person, you are not a better person. You may love that person. You may have some sort of attachment to that person. But you know down deep in your heart and soul that it is not making you into a better person to be with that person as much as you're with that person. That doesn't mean you need to eliminate them from your life. It just means that maybe you need to rearrange the nature of your relationship. Could be a boyfriend, could be a girlfriend, could be a good friend, it could, whatever it is, could be just someone you're spending a lot of time with, could be a relationship, it could be an activity, could be some place that you go, so it could be something that you do. But by placing yourself in that situation, it's just not good for you, it's not healthy for you. It could be a habit, something that you just do on a regular basis. It could be the way you spend your time. I mean, what you do with your mornings or what you do with your evenings or what you do with your weekends, and you're thinking, you know what? I do that, but you know what? I waste a lot of time doing that. I do that. It's okay. It's okay to relax. It's okay to have fun. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that after a while, you look at that and you go, you know what? That activity is counterproductive to me being able to be all that I need to be. To me being able to be who God wants me to be. To me being able to make a difference in other people's lives. So it could be an activity, it could be a habit, it could be a person. All right? So what we're saying is that when you lay aside, one of the things that, the only way that you and I are going to be able to lay those things aside, it's not going to be from you coming in here and listening to what I have to say and getting up and walking out and never thinking about it again. The way that you and I are going to be able to make a difference is when you and I take an inventory of our life. You know what, inventory, it's all the things that are in life, and we go, okay, these are the things I need to keep, and these are the things I need to lay aside. These are some of the things I need to let go of. I saw a movie this week. It came out last year, I think, or maybe 2 years ago. It's now on video. The name of the movie is called Wild, and it stars Reese Witherspoon. It's not a family movie. It's not a movie for kids. But it has a great story to it. It's based on a true story of Cheryl Strayed, a young lady who hiked the Pacific Crest Trail that starts in mid-California, goes on up into Oregon and on into Washington State. It's 2,600 miles long. And she hiked 1,100 miles of this 2,600-mile trail. She knew that's how much she wanted to hike. People hike all different kinds of amounts, just kind of like the Appalachian Trail. Some people go and hike 10 miles, and some people hike the whole thing and anything in between. She hiked 1,100 miles, took her about 3 months to do it. And the reason she did that was when she was a young lady, her mother died of cancer, and she had a very hard time dealing with that. She made a lot of really bad choices that put her in a very dark place. They ended up ending her marriage, and at the end of, in the middle of all that, she just kind of came to the realization that I want, and she says this in the movie, I want to become the woman that mother always wanted me to be. And so this hike is a journey of self-discovery and healing for her in what's happened in her life that she was disappointed with, and also some of the bad choices that she's made. So she hikes alone, all right? And just like any hike, you meet people along the trail. You come to different places and see people, and it's about her journey. First couple of weeks, she's out there, and she's just, it's like, why am I doing this? She starts in the Mojave Desert, you know? I mean, it's challenging. She didn't bring the right kind of fuel to cook her food, so she has to eat her food cold. She's from Minneapolis, Minnesota. She's never hiked, okay? And she's going to embark on this really challenging 3-month, turns into 3 months. She thought it was going to be shorter, 3-month hike. So she goes out there, really doesn't know what she's doing. And I'm watching the movie and I'm thinking, I'm not a hiker, but man, that backpack seems really big, you know? And so she goes through like a couple of weeks in her journey. And then she kind of comes upon this station where, you know, people just kind of take a break, refuel. There's some food there. And so there's some other hikers that are kind of hanging out. And she's met people along the trail, and she's got these guys that are kind of, you know, ribbing her, giving her a hard time about how big her pack is. And so as she's hanging out there, there's a guy who's older and more experienced. And he says, hey, why don't we take a look at that pack? And he says, it's going to make your trip a lot easier. And so what they do is on this big, huge picnic table, they just take her backpack. And he said, if it's okay with you, let's just lay out everything that's in your backpack. Let's just take it all out. And let's just determine what you need, what you don't need. And what you don't need, we'll just put it in this bucket that just says free stuff for people that come along. She's like, that'd be great. Let's just do it. And so they start she starts laying all this stuff out, and she picks stuff up, and she's like, I haven't used that the whole trip. I don't know why I brought that. And so they're just kind of discarding things. And then she pulls out this saw that's about that long, and she's like, I don't even know why I brought that. So they just kind of lay that aside, and all of a sudden, they just kind of make her pack a lot lighter. Now, you know what's going to happen for her? She was able to go faster, and she was able to go further. She was able to have a lot more energy and get where she wanted to go with purpose. Same thing's true in my life and your life. There are times, the only way you can do this is just sit down with yourself, maybe be quiet, even just maybe get out on your back porch, maybe sit down at your kitchen table and take out a paper and a pencil, just write down all these things that are taking up your time, all these relationships. Take an inventory. And then go, The writer of Hebrews said, lay aside everything that hinders you. Just lay it aside, because I want you to be able to run. I want you to be able to go faster, further. I want you to have greater energy and greater purpose, greater effectiveness in your life. Have you ever noticed the difference between experienced travelers and inexperienced travelers? Okay? If you've ever been in an airport, if you ever travel much, you already know what I'm about to say, right? Experienced travelers, you can pick them up from the airport, family, friend, whoever it is. Experienced travelers, they'll have one little suitcase that fits overhead. They don't even check any luggage. They may be coming to stay for 5 days. They'll have this one little suitcase and a carry-on because they know how to pack, you know? I mean, I picked up people from the airport. They're staying for 5 days. They've got this little bag and this other little bag, and I'm like, is that it? I'm like, sure, yeah. I've got, like, all kinds of, and they've got all mix and matches and outfits and stuff that doesn't wrinkle, and they've got everything that they need in there for, like, 5 days. They know how to pack. Then you take somebody like me that doesn't travel a lot, who packs at the last minute, and I'll be gone for 3 days, and I'm throwing, like, 8 days worth of clothes in there, and I'm thinking, I may need that, and I may not need that, and I've got a duffel that has no wheels, and I'm walking miles through the airport. You know, I'm not conserving energy. I'm wasting energy. I've got to check bags. I've got to wait to the airport when I get there to see my bag come back out on that rotisserie, and you got to get that thing off, and then you got to get, you know, where you're going. And people that really travel a lot, they're like, whoa, dude, where have you been? Have you been somewhere for like a year? No, I was coming for a couple days. And so they're just like, wow, you know? And so that's what happens for folks like us that pack at the last minute and don't travel a lot, is you pack too much. And the writer of Hebrews says, you know what? One of the best things that you can do is take an inventory of your life. It may not be something that's bad. It may just be something, it's just not best for you. It's an activity, it's a habit, it's a relationship. It's saying yes to too many, many things, whatever it is. But the only way it's going to happen is for you and I to take inventory and figure out what is it that I need to lay aside. And then the writer of Hebrews says this, lay aside everything that hinders you. Okay? Now see, we spend most of our time thinking, oh, I'm going to get the bad stuff out. I need to stop doing this. I need to stop doing this bad thing. A lot of things aren't bad. They just hinder you. Okay? Lay aside everything that hinders you. And then he does talk about sin. Then he says this, and the sin that so easily entangles you. Now, if I were to give you a piece of paper this morning and a pen or a pencil, and I said, what is sin? Most of you would write down something like this. You would write down, sin are the wrong things that we do. They're the things that we do that God doesn't want us to do. They're the things that we should do, but we don't do that God wants us to do. It's the ways we hurt other people, the ways we offend God. It's the ways we hurt ourselves. All those things will be true. And most of the time, when we think of those sins, and if I were to say, the writer of Hebrews says, lay aside everything that hinders, sin that so easily entangles you, we'd say, you know, you'd think, yeah, you know, I wish I had been faithful and not unfaithful, because that really got me off course, you know. I wish that I had told the truth instead of lied. I wish that I had not stolen. So we tend to think of these big things. You know, we lied, we stole, we were unfaithful, whatever it is. We had this big failure. And that's just kind of the fruit of the sin tree for us, you know. It's the big stuff. And what we don't often focus on is the tree itself or even the root system, I would say. So where do those sins come from? Well, those sins, the things that we typically just look at, the big stuff, that comes from our nature. Our nature, we were born with it. This is what our nature is. Our nature is to be selfish, okay? We have a sin nature. It's why we need a Savior. It's why we need Jesus to come and be the ultimate sacrifice so we can receive His grace and be forgiven for our sins, for the wrong things that we've done, and for our sin nature so that we could be renewed and redeemed. We need Jesus. That's why we need Him. So your nature and my nature is to be selfish. My nature is to be lustful. So is yours. My nature is to be greedy. Your nature is to be angry. Your nature is to be jealous. Now, those are the things that get down deep inside of our gut, inside of our soul, that a lot of times we don't see as the big fruit hanging off the tree, right? It's those things. So, somebody says, well, you need to lay aside the sin that so easily entangles you. Well, yeah, hey, I need to start doing that big thing, and I need to stop doing that big thing, and, you know, I've been doing this, and I know that's wrong. That's a big, bad one. Nobody even knows that I do that, and I need to stop that. But what's a little bit more difficult for most of us is to get honest enough and to look at our lives close enough to go, you know, sometimes I take credit for things that I didn't do. And sometimes I am rude and harsh and angry with people, and then I just cover it up. And sometimes I judge people, and nobody even knows about it. And I'm impatient. And those attitudes of our heart that are sins that the writer of Hebrews would say, like a vine, they just easily entangle us. You know, they just kind of get around your legs. They prevent you from running. You can't really go at the rate or go at the speed. You just got to spend some time getting the knots out of those vines that just kind of wrap you up. And what happens is the only way, you know, do you know how we're going to get rid of those sins? If you don't hear any other phrase I say this morning, here's the phrase I want you to remember. A self-examined life. That's how you're going to get rid of it. That's how I'm going to get rid of it. Now, what do? When I live a self-examined life, when I take inventory of the things that hinder me, when I live a self-exam, I'll examine my life and I think about what it is that I need to change. What I'm doing is I'm getting the knots out of those things. And when I get the knots out of the sin in my life and I get the knots out of the things that hinder me, all of a sudden I can run faster. I can run further. I have greater energy. I'm freer. I am freer. Why? Because this is what happens. The way that you live a self-examined life, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Let me use this example. Have you ever known a guy that just will not go to the doctor? All right, I know there's no guys in here like that. I know every guy in here has a yearly annual physical, right? So some of you, and there's already wives that are doing this, and you're thinking, God, Scott, why did you use that illustration? And so we're talking about guys that, you know, guys that don't go to the doctor at all. You don't go for a physical. You know, you're the guy that, you know, you're thinking, well, I'm healthy. I don't need to. I'll take care of this. And so what happens is for guys that really never go to the doctor, they get sick and they don't go to the doctor, let alone go for a regular checkup or anything like that. And what happens is, you know, you don't have anybody that's kind of telling you, you know, what's wrong, or any kind of medication that you need to go on, or any kind of lifestyle changes that you need to make. And so then you've got other guys that are pretty faithful about that, you know. They'll go to the doctor. They're not hypochondriacs. You know, the guy that never goes to the doctor goes, yeah, sure he goes to the doctor. He's a hypochondriac. No, he just goes for like a yearly physical. That's all he does. And so he goes to the doctor, and he goes to the doctor on a regular basis. Not really anything's wrong with him. He goes for an annual physical, has his blood work done, has his blood pressure checked. The older he gets, he has other things checked he's not too excited about. But as he goes to the doctor, and so he can run these tests, and you're able to talk about to the doctor about what your years look like, and he can make some recommendations about maybe some lifestyle changes you need to make. Maybe he gets you on a medication that's going to help you live better, live longer. Maybe he changes your medications. Maybe he takes you off medications. But he's there to able to offer you advice. Now, overall, probably the guy that goes and gets good advice from a doctor on a regular basis is going to live longer and healthier than the guy that doesn't. Now, some of you there, you're totally pushing against that, and you're the guy that doesn't want to go. Now, here's what happens, ladies. Let me encourage you with this. The guy that doesn't want to go, and if you don't understand this about guys, here's what's happening. A lot of times we say, and you've heard this excuse, I've heard this over and over, that is out for your money. I'm just going to charge me an arm and a leg to tell me something. What? I already know. I mean, that's what guys say all the time. You know, you can't trust doctors. I mean, they're just out for you. They're going to gouge you, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so that's kind of the reason that we use a lot of time not to go to the doctor. But the reason that we don't want to go to the doctor, and your husband may never say this to you, and your father may never say this to you, the reason we don't want to go to the doctor is because we're afraid. And the thing that we don't do that we probably need to do a lot more is just be honest with you. And the thing that we're afraid of down deep in our heart is we're afraid we might hear something that we don't want to hear. Now, you know, as a spouse, that you want him around as long as he can be around. And dads and husbands and grandpas, your kids and your grandkids want you around as long as you can be around. Now, the only way for that to happen is that if you've got a problem, is to find out what that problem is and to begin to address it so that you can live a happier, healthier, longer life. Now, to not do that is just to be selfish. But here's the deal. The best thing you can do is just come to an honest understanding. I'm afraid because I know there's some things that are wrong. I'm afraid of what somebody will tell me, and I'm afraid of what I'll have to do to deal with it. But it would be the best thing for you. Do you know the reason that we don't live a self-examined life? Because we're afraid. Because we're afraid that if we get quiet enough, we're afraid that if we sit down on the couch and there's nobody in the house, or go out on the back porch, or sit down at our desk, or pray, that God's going to show us some things that need to change, some sins that have kind of easily entangled our life. There's one prayer that you pray, God's going to answer every time. There are a lot of prayers that you're going to have to wait on. You're not going to have the answer to it. There's some that you're going to have to be patient for. Some you're going to be frustrated, but God's not answering. There's one prayer you pray. You can pray it every day. God's going to answer it every time. What about my life needs to change? But you have to have the courage to ask it. Because what's going to happen is God's going to be honest. He's going to say, listen, the way you speak to these people, the attitude you have to that person, the selfishness you have, the jealousy you have, the greed that you have, the way you hold on to things instead of giving things away, those things that nobody else knows about, I see them. So let's work on them, okay? Let's work on them. And you know what you do? The self-examined life is this, is that on a regular basis, you get alone with God, you open up and you read a few scriptures, and then you pray, and you give Him thanks for things. You got so many things to thank Him for that you may run out of time just thanking Him. But you pray for other people, you praise Him, you thank Him, and then you take a minute to see, what is it about my life that I need to change? And God will show you. And then you do this. You confess it. God, I have done this wrong. I am sorry. You're right. I shouldn't do that. I don't want to be that kind of man. I don't want to be that kind of mom. I don't want to be that kind of person. I confess this to you, God. And then you know what you do? You ask God, you think about, and you say, well, God, What I want to do, I don't want to just get rid of that sin. I want to replace it with something else. So God, instead of being jealous of that person, I want to be grateful for that person. Instead of being greedy about that thing, I want to be generous about that thing. Instead of being angry about that thing, God, I want to be grateful for that thing. You know? So God, I want you to replace, instead of being impatient, God, I want to be patient. I want my life to be ruled by love and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness. God, I want to take that thing that's wrong about me and replace it. I want to take that activity or that habit or whatever it is that's displeasing to you. And you know what? Then you do this. The writer of Hebrews says, the words are so intentional. Lay aside everything that hinders and lay aside the sin that so easily entangles. You know what he's saying? It's not just stop doing it. Forgive yourself. Once you examine your life and you say, God, this is what's wrong, and I ask for your forgiveness and I want you to replace it with something good, then you let go of it. You don't beat yourself up anymore. You don't carry it around anymore. You just let go of it. You say, God, I want to, you know what? I'm going to be tempted to remind myself. The enemy's going to try to use it against me. But you know what, God? I'm going to let go of it, and I want to be the person that you want me to be. But I guarantee you this. If you go through your life and you do not go to the great physician, you do not listen to him, you don't ask what's wrong with your life, if you go through life like that, you're going to be tangled up. You may live 65, 75, 85 more years, but you're not going to get nearly as far as God wants you to go. Because here's the end of that verse, and we may come back to this next week. But the end of that verse says this. It's so rich, I'm going to cover it here in about 2 minutes. Lay aside everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles you, and run with perseverance this race marked out for you. You know what he's saying? Run this life, these weeks, days, months, and seasons, until your time is up, so that you can be effective, so that you can go far, so that you can go fast. And I want you to run it with perseverance. You know what that means? Don't give up. Don't give up because you messed up. Don't give up because your life was going one way and you made some decisions and it went this way, or it didn't turn out with a job or a marriage or with kids or some sin that you committed or whatever else. And he says, listen, don't give up. It may not be how you pictured it. Nobody's life is perfect and no person is perfect. But persevere. You're going to be tempted to give up. You're going to get a diagnosis that wants you to give up. You're going to want to give up. You're going to lose a job and you're going to want to give up. You're going to have kids that do stuff and you're going to want to give up. You're going to enter financial difficulty and you're going to want to give up. You're going to have friends that betray you and you're going to want to give up. And the writer of Hebrews says, persevere. Run this race with perseverance. Because I can tell you right now, you may be in the first quarter of this race and you think everything's going off great because you're 25 years old. You're going to hit some difficult times. It's just called life. But I want to encourage you with this. Persevere. And if you will lay aside the things that hinder you and the sin that so easily entangles you, if you'll take inventory of the things that hinder you and live a self-examined life of the knots that get around you and hinder you, if you will do that, you'll have a greater possibility of being able to succeed and persevere in this race. And what kind of race is it? Last phrase. The race marked out for you. You're thinking, well, I thought the race was just up to me. I thought I could just go anywhere and do anything I wanted. That you can. But you know what? God already sees it. He's already marked out a race for you. And here's the encouraging part about that. He created you with a purpose. The minute you drew breath, before you ever drew breath, before you ever born, God had a purpose for you. He knows the people that you're going to, He knows the people that are going to be in your life. He knows the family. He knows your kids. He knows your friendships. He knows where you're going to be. He's marked out a race for you. Listen, that should be so encouraging to you and me. He's marked out a race. But you know what? It's totally up to us as to how we're going to spend those days. It's totally up to us as to the impact that we're going to have. It's totally up to us that when we get to the finish line, that you know what? We've left our thumbprint on the lives of other people that are going to carry on for eternity. Or not. That's the choice we have. See, God's not going to control that. He's not going to control what you do, where you go, decisions you make. But He does have a race marked out for you. and it is filled with joy. It is filled with the possibility that you could live out of the overflow of your heart and out of your life. That you don't have to walk around with guilt or shame or things undone or regrets, but you can just live your life with purpose, with freedom. That's what God wants for your life. That's what He wants for you. And it's possible if you and I will take inventory, if you and I will live a self-examined life, we'll get further faster. Would you bow your head? Let's pray together. God, I thank You for Your purpose, for the fact that my race has already been marked out for me. I'm glad to know that I am not in control, that You are God, that You have a larger purpose than what I could ever come up with. And I thank You, God, for how generous and full of grace You are to reveal to me and to each of us the truth about our lives. So, God, I pray as we started this morning, that You would just shine a real bright light on the things in my life and our lives that hinder us. Maybe even some things that are not bad, they're just not what's best for us, and we just need to lay them aside. I pray You'd shine a real bright light in our life on the things that are not pleasing to You, sins in our life. But I pray that You would give us the courage and the encouragement to examine our lives, to seek honesty, to want to know where we are, so that we can be healed, so that we can live with greater purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So grateful that you were here this morning. And hope that you'll come back again next week as we continue this focus on the what we want this year to be like and getting our heart and mind focused in the right place. We're going to take up our offering here in just a moment. Let me just say this to you guys that give online. Thank you for those of you that you've already given. You gave online this week, or you'll give online today. You can do that easily on our website. Because maybe a lot of you pay all your bills online. It's just more convenient for you to give to the Lord. And you can do that at thegrovenox.org and just go to the Give tab. And it's very easy and simple, safe and secure for you to do that. Thank you for those of you that will give today. Let me pray and then we'll take up our offering, okay? God, thank You so much for Your generosity in our lives. And I pray that as we give today, we'd do it full of joy and with sacrifice. And with prayer that You would use it to make a difference in people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.